What's up, baddie bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club.
Your life values, they align. That's what's most important. Like, yes, personality is one thing. Your values are going to be the very cornerstone of your relationship. If that is not aligned, and plenty of times, like, listen, the top values that I think about that should be aligned are your money values, your faith and belief values, your values around wanting kids, and then your values around hobbies. Like, do you have them? Would you like them? Would you be pissed if I had a hobby and you did it, right?
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we're joined by Karina F. Daves, a renowned relationship coach, former social worker, and adjunct professor of women's study. Karina is going to share valuable wisdom on navigating the complexities of partnerships and empowering women to evaluate their identity, values, and standards for more fulfilling relationships. So Karina, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you.
And before we get started, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Karina F. Daves. I'm a relationship coach and a speaker, and I help women stop arguing with their partners so that they can have more sex. That's what I do.
Oh my gosh. Do you actually tell people that, like, when people are like, what do? You say those exact words? Like, I would be your best friend if you said that. I'm like, we need to be best friends.
It's like the best elevator pitch. It gets people like, what? Because everybody wants to have more sex and everybody wants to stop arguing.
Yeah. Like, excuse me, ma'am. When are you available? When are you available? Okay. But prior to this whole thing, you were a social worker, adjunct professor. Like, how does that, one, why the switch? And two, how do those things help with what you do today?
You know, it's interesting because in a lot of ways, like, becoming a social worker, you can do anything when you're a social worker because all you're doing is working with people. And me specifically, there are two tracks. There's the administrative track, which is more managerial, grant writing, and a lot of just community work versus the more clinical social worker, which is more therapy. And both of those actually have a lot of the clinical in their first year, at least my program did. And so you learn a lot about psychopathology, you learn a lot about the mind and behavior. And when I was a social worker, I worked in higher ed for about 14 years. So I jumped from different colleges within the university that I was at. And so I worked with an all women's school. I worked with students that were coming back from the war. I worked with students that were borderline suicidal. I worked with students that were first generation, low income. I worked with all different types of students. And so by the time that I became a professor, which I did for 5 years, I was teaching women's global leadership. You know, it was very, I would say, easy for me to adapt to the different students that I was having because I had worked with different types of communities. And I really feel like becoming a professor really helped speaking, right? I've always loved speaking, but speaking in front of a classroom is different. And it really prepared me for where I am today. And so when I think about relationship coaching and how I got here, social work and being a professor helped tremendously. And I really do feel like those two things improved, if anything, excelled my EQ, my emotional intelligence, like just my ability to just not just communicate, but read people.
Yeah. I mean, such great points. I feel like if you can figure out the different types of people and how to work with them and de-escalate them and get them to do what you want them to do, it's like so empowering in the sense of you can handle almost anything like that deal with people. So I love that. Really interesting viewpoint. So when we're talking about our spouses, what are the biggest things that you see trending in terms of what people are bringing to you to help solve for?
Yeah, this is good. I love talking about this. I'm so happy we dived right in. So I would say the top three issues that I'm working with my clients are right now are a mixture of breakups and divorce due to a lot of people getting into relationships that they had no business getting into. And what I mean by that is you're talking about your checklist humans, people that were checking off boxes like career check, buy the house check, get married check, like just wanting somebody to fulfill that spot. I would say the second type of client that I'm working with that people are struggling with right now is really a lot of identity work, in the sense that the world tells women that we have to be a certain way. And then you get to your 30s or you get to your 40s and you're just like, who am I? What am I doing? What does this mean? What is life? Is this actually the career that I want? Is this the person I actually want to spend the rest of my life with? Like, are our issues because we are not a match, or are our issues because we haven't done the inner work, right? And then I'll say possibly the third type of client that I'm working with is this. Last year was actually the first year I took male clients on, and couples. And so it's exciting to now go from women to men and to couples. And so I actually went back to men. The third type of client that I'm working on is with people that are becoming content and didn't know that they were content in their relationship. Like, they just thought that this was what life was, and something woke them up and they were like, wow, like this is really not supposed to be my life. And they did an entire 360 of their life and they actually don't like the situation that they're in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So I'm previously married, divorced, was finalized in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I'm remarried in 2021. And I can relate to that last one where it was, I had a huge lack of boundaries and I normalized the behavior that was happening. And I wouldn't say necessarily like content, but accepting that this was normal, and then had a big wake up of like, I remember one thought, I was like, I think I can do this for 13 more years. Or actually at that time, I think it was like, I think I could do this for 16 more years, you know, and then I can find happiness. And I was like, what are you saying? And I think there is, and I think it goes back to your point, like, when I got engaged, I was 24. I was like, I didn't know myself at 24. I thought everyone was, if you like love bombed me or wooed me for a hot second, I was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I really didn't wake up and decide, like, figure out who I was until my early 30s. So I can totally relate to what you're saying of like, some people do get married young, and if they're barely knowing who they are, let alone who's the best partner to support them through that change. Yeah.
And not only that, like, not only married young, but also working with clients that married because they felt like they were racing against the clock.
Yeah.
Right. So like, that's what I mean about like checklisting it off, like not necessarily always marrying because you don't know who you are and you're just doing it to do it, but also because you feel like time is running out. And marriage is something that you need to check off your list. Like, your career is great, your money's right. And you're like, now I need to find a partner, and you just tend to settle.
Yeah. Right. Or you're looking around and you're like, oh my God, everyone's having babies and I'm not even married. I need to get married or whatnot. Right. Everyone's announcing their engagements and I have nothing to announce. Let me go make that happen. When you're talking with these individuals, which I love now that you're doing men, women, and couples, what's the biggest holdup in terms of that conversation? And I hear what you're saying of like, I'm recognizing myself, I'm not content. But in terms of that feedback of like, okay, we're not going to get divorced, we want to stay together, what are those areas that you're seeing the most of? Is it parenting a spouse? Is it communication problems? Is it money problems? Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah. So a lot of it is a couple of things. One, communication to comprehend. So people will be like, yeah, communication, communication, but it's like nobody's actually understanding each other. And the reason why you're stuck in this cycle of arguing is because nobody's understanding what the other person wants. Everybody's just stuck in their offense and thinking that if we just sit here and talk for 10 hours, that somehow we are communicating. And yeah, like, words are coming out of your mouth, but you're not making any moves if you're actually not understanding each other. And what happens plenty of times is that couples remain stuck in this cycle because you're offended. Like you're offended by what the other person is saying. And what I tell a lot of my clients is like in those moments when you're offended by something that your partner said, I just want you to become curious. If you were curious, you could decrease a lot of that offense. And also understand that sometimes you have to go into situations with your partner thinking that maybe they did have better intentions, right? Assume that they had better intentions, right? Assume that. And so I'll say that definitely communication to comprehension. Two, you got a lot of people that don't trust each other. And sometimes the reason why they don't trust each other, yes, can be to cheating, but also to their own junk that they've never healed from, they've never settled on. And listen, I'm not saying that you have to be completely healed to be in a relationship or a healthy relationship, but you got to be working on that because you are going to become triggered all the time.
Yes.
See, what you forget is that your partner, your spouse, you're the person you're in a relationship with is your mirror. Your marriage is your mirror, okay? 1,000% of the time, it is telling you the areas that you may not always think about or is telling you areas that you may need to work on. Like it is your mirror 100% of the time. And it doesn't necessarily mean that something's always wrong with you, but it's going to activate or trigger you in a way to think of like, dang, I got to work on that. And so I would say trust, communication to comprehension. And then intimacy is a big thing for the couples that you just mentioned. The ones that are like, okay, I want to stay together. I want to figure it out. That's what I like to call my ride or die couples. And so these are the couples that really want to remain together. And when I think about ride or die couples, the biggest theme there is that they are committed. Like committed to the max, not just to each other, but to anything. And so one of the reasons why ride or die couples argue a lot is simply because they get very offended when their partner's opinion isn't what they want it to be, right? Like they hold their partner's opinion so high because they're so committed that it's just like it hurts them to the T and then they get stuck in this cycle of arguing. Or they don't feel considered. You see, when you are in a ride or die relationship where you're very committed, you think about your partner in ways that they don't think about themselves. You're very committed to their well-being. And in some aspects, you want that for yourself. But like, do you remember Miss Cleo? Do you remember Miss Cleo back in the day?
Oh, yes. Yeah. The fortune teller. The fortune 1-800 teller. Miss Cleo. Yes.
And so what I like to say is like your partner ain't Miss Cleo. They are not going to be able to read your mind. Like if it is something that you do for your partner that you want them to do for you, they aren't going to pick it up just because you do it for them. You have to tell them, right?
Yeah.
And so that is one of the few things I see right now that is ruminating around the clients that I'm working with.
It's interesting. I was having a chat with a good friend of mine and she was talking about her husband. She was like, I'm just so frustrated because I feel like he hasn't listened and I ask him to do things and he's not doing them. And I get really frustrated. I was like, oh, give me an example. And she's like, okay, a good example is like after dinner, I need to go upstairs and I'm going to do all the baths. Well, the table is dirty. And so like, I tell him to clean the table and then I come down and it's not clean. And I was like, huh, how do you tell him to clean the table? And she was like, I say, you know, oh, the table needs to be cleaned after bath or before whatever bath or like something along those lines. And I'm like, do you actually go to him and say, I need help with the table being cleaned. Can you handle that? Like, do you actually ask that? And she's like, no, I just say that the table needs to be cleaned. And I was like, okay, so you're not actually like telling him. And then she gets really frustrated because she was like, well, shouldn't he just know that I'm asking him because I'm doing the bath. So he does the table. And I was like, until you set those expectations that like, hey, partner, do you want to clean the table or do the bath? Which one? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, let him choose. Okay. He's going to clean the table. You go do the bath, right? It kind of goes to that Miss Cleo. And I'm like, I think about how many times I have been in that situation. The only reason why I have that advice for her is because my couples therapist has told me like, you have to say this better to Hunter. Mm-hmm. But it's so true. It's like, are you actually asking and having that conversation? Or are you making a statement and announcing it and hoping that other one picks it up and like kind of has those hints?
Yeah.
What are your recommendations for like better communicating? That's one example, but like what other ways do you give your clients in terms of recommendations?
So here's the thing. Marriage is all about repetition, is all about repeating yourself. Like I heard this piece of advice from a good friend of mine that is also a business coach. And she said, millionaires repeat themselves. And I was like, so do spouses. I was like, marriage is that. In marriage, you are constantly repeating yourself like all the time. And you have to really regulate your frustration with your partner. I would say like, if I was talking to your friend on the phone, I would have asked her, and here's the thing. I would have said, have y'all ever had these conversations before you moved in together? Before you had the kids? People don't. People don't have these conversations. Like I straight up, before we got married, you know, my husband has three sisters and I didn't want to assume. So I was like, what's it like to live with you? Like, do you clean up after yourself? Like, what do you do? And he was like, no. Like, I'm very clean, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, what's your expectation? Are there like roles that you expect women to do versus men to do? And he's like, no. He's like, we're an equal opportunity household. I'm like, great. These are very open conversations to have.
Such and a I good think point.
That you have to understand that your partner is going through a transitional period from whatever their life was before you to now their life with you. And yes, in your mind, it is mechanical, right? And I think of the issue that your friend has as a very mechanical issue of the marriage. It's not like a heart issue or emotional issue. It's very much a mechanical issue, like cleaning, taking care of things in that nature. I also would offer that you're not helping me with this. We're doing this together. So I would say before I go up, and my husband and I actually have this conversation almost every night. Like I don't just leave like or say I'm going up to take care of the kids and assume. We literally almost every night have a conversation where we are talking, the dinner's over, and I'll be like, all right, what do you want to do? Do you want to do the kids or do you want to do the kitchen? Right? And he's like, I think I'll do the kitchen. Okay, or I'll do the kids. And that's it. It's literally as simple as that. And everybody already knows what to do with the kids or what to do with the kitchen. And I would say that that's my best piece of advice.
Yeah, I do like that. To me, because I'm a business owner, I have multiple clients and I have teams for each of those clients. And we do a 10 to 15 minute daily stand-up to say every morning, I'm on the call with five different teams, 15 minutes saying, what are you working on? What are you doing? Here's what needs to get done. And then I started to realize, why don't I do this with my husband? Like, why don't I? Mm-hmm. And I've started to slowly do it. I think here's my pushback is, and this is what I say to him is like, why do I have to be the one? You know, why do I have to have the mental load? Like as a business owner, I get it. You work for me. These are my clients. These are my projects. You're the team that I have put together and I need to make sure that my team is doing their job, right? But why do I have to be the one to have all the mental load, think of all the things, create the calendar, create the timeline and the tasks, and then micromanage the husband? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of women are feeling this.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Here, I'll say two things. One is I've been where you are. And what I want you to understand is that it takes practice, right? For somebody to learn a new habit. So if you are innately the initiator, I just want you to initiate a simple process. You don't have to create a calendar, okay? You could just have a conversation about things daily and say like, what's up for today? What's the weather today? What are we up to today? And then your partner will also ask the same question. Like it will just form a habit, but you don't have to go and create all of these resources in order to make sure that the project is on point because your partner is not a project. Your partner is your partner. And that's the difference. Your partner needs time to be able to pick up that habit. And so like surrendering your partner and understanding that like you're not their parent and then they're not your project, you can just surrender that they can come up with that habit. And two, you need to be able to create a routine or whatever it is with your partner that is also flexible. That if you drop the ball or they drop the ball, that it's fine. And this is my little secret. In the beginning of all this, when I was in that same space, I would drop the ball sometimes on purpose. I really would. I really would.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with that. I too have dropped the ball on purpose.
I dropped the ball on purpose. You know why? Because, and it's not being vengeful.
Even, it's like making it even, right?
Yeah, it's not even like, I'm not even being vengeful. I'm just saying, like, at some point, one of the kids is going to say, I'm hungry. And that will be like, oh, hey, like, we have to feed the kids. Yeah, you should figure that out. What should we do? What should we do? Yeah. Like, plenty of times, you know, when you have the what's for dinner conversation, right? I hate that conversation. I hate that conversation. So for us, we eat the same like rotation of meals Monday through Thursday. And that's what we do, right? Like, that's what we do. My husband cooks almost every day. And then on Fridays we eat out. And on the weekends I cook sometimes. So like, and everybody has picked up that habit. But I think like, one, be flexible. Two, be okay with dropping the ball and see your partner as a partner, not a project that you need to keep tabs on and micromanage. You don't got to do that.
Yeah. I think for me, and I have to give my husband some grace because when he married me, I had 3 kids already and then we had another one together. And so he literally went from bachelor life to dad of 3 life.
Yeah.
And in the middle of COVID. And so I've given a lot of grace to that. I also have to recognize from my perspective that I am extremely disciplined, organized. My whole company is all about scaling operations. And so that is that's my superpower. And I can't have the same expectations of everyone around me to also have the same level of detail and dedication that I do. And especially not my partner. But for me, I think where I struggled with, and we've got our own methods that really have worked for us. But in the beginning, I personally felt like I was having to do everything and then literally giving him a list because he would just sit there like a puppy dog and be like, now what? And I'm like, I don't know. It's the morning. 3 kids are trying to get ready for school. Maybe make water bottles or like the lunch or like breakfast or something. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, it's like, having that conversation, because we did a lot of conversations and then we started having, okay, here's what works for you. Like, I need to make the lunches and I need to do this because that's the kind of person I am. And then can you help me with one of these 5 things? And then and then he got to pick, or like dinner. Mm-hmm. That was like the worst thing at like 5 p.m. It's like, what's for dinner? And I'm like, are you kidding me? That. You want to fight? Like, we're going to fight right now. And so now it's like, okay, Sunday he makes dinners with enough leftover for Monday. And then he has another dinner. And so I don't even have to think. And I was like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go grocery shop for it. I don't want to do anything. Like, you just take that on. And so every Sunday I'm like, ooh, I don't have to make dinner. And I think to your point, it's like just creating those clear expectations and having the people commit to it has really helped us from arguing over little things.
And it will increase your intimacy. Like, I'm telling you, you don't got to argue about this stuff. Like, you want to have more sex? Stop arguing about this stuff and just say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with this? Like, even the cleaning of the house, right? Like, that's another thing, right? I would say for us, like, we just outsource it, right? Once a month, somebody comes and deep cleans. Like, I'm not talking about that, right? For laundry, I don't do the laundry, but I fold all the laundry. So my husband does the laundry and then it sits. I see it every day for like 3 days straight. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to fold it Saturday. And there's like, right now there's like 4 tubs of clothes that I have to fold, but he washed everything. He washed it. He pulled everything from everybody's room, washed it, dried it, and put it there. And now my job is to fold it. And then he puts it away. And that's what we discuss. And it just works. And I think that solving for the mechanics of your relationship are a lot easier than what you're making it seem. It doesn't have to be this full-blown crazy plan. What I want you to focus on even more, like the amount of energy that you focus on the mechanical stuff, I want you to transfer that energy into the emotional stuff, into getting to know your partner's heart, their desires, their dreams, their goals. What do they want to do? What's the next space that they want to travel to? What do they imagine wanting to do with their money in 5 years? How do you want to try a new sex position tonight? Like, get to know your partner for the person that you said I do to. Right? You don't want to have such a large amount of your conversations be about the mechanics of the relationship. Yeah. You don't.
Yeah. What advice do you have for folks that come in and say, I'm willing to do this. I, as a woman, I'm feeling stressed, all of these things. And when I ask my spouse, they're like, that's not my job, or that's not, I'm not going to do that. You know, I work full time and you don't. Because I can imagine that that happens. What do women do in that situation?
Yeah. See, here's where I say a lot of the times, like, there were definitely signs that your partner was like this. And these are important conversations to have way beforehand. Because it seems when you have these conversations, you are looking at two different values. Values are basically ideas and how people run their lives. People have money values, people have business values, people have values, respect, loyalty, whatever it is. So when it comes to somebody that may be a stay-at-home, you know, wife or mom or whatever the case is, or may have a part-time job or may work from home, you know, because now there's this thing where people think that if you work from home, you don't do anything, when it's a lot more work than you think, okay? Right? It's all going down to your values. And it is very difficult to change somebody's value and their perspective on what they believe. And so for those types of conversations, they are conversations that, you know, it may seem like I'm about to describe an ultimatum, but I'm not. What I'm saying is when it is time for that, when a situation like that comes along, you need to pull your partner aside in a very calm area, you know, maybe after the kids are sleeping, whatever it is, and really talk about the fact that you are not on board with this and that you want to fix it, right? Kind of like the sandwich effect, like good, bad, good, right? I love you. I'm not on board with this and I do want to fix this. How can we fix this? And if your partner at that point is like, no, this is how it should be. You should stay home and do everything and I'm going to work, then you have a little bit of a problem there. Right? Because essentially they have to negotiate with their own value to be on the same page with you for the sake of your relationship, or they're basically saying that their value is just really that important. And I think that's why people should be having more conversations about their values than about the caterer for their wedding. Like, we spend an enormous amount of time talking about the wedding than we do over like the actual marriage.
Yeah. No, seriously. And planning. Seriously,
and planning.
And planning. Yeah. What color flowers? It's like, how about who's going to do the laundry? Like,
I'm thrilled to share our family's delightful journey with Green Chef, the premier meal kit for wholesome eating. In our lively home, it's always been a bit of a puzzle to find dishes that are nutritious yet fun for the kids. That's where Green Chef has truly made a difference. Green Chef champions the cause of clean eating and vibrant living. Their meals, curated by chefs and approved by nutritionists, are brimming with certified organic produce. This approach has transformed our family meals into healthier, more joyful gatherings. The kids are always eager to lend a hand in the kitchen now. With clear, picture-guided instructions, Green Chef's recipes are kid-friendly, making it effortless for them to participate and pick up healthy eating habits. Diving into Green Chef's varied menu has become our weekly ritual. With more than 80 scrumptious choices catering to keto, vegan, and gluten-free preferences, it's a weekly culinary expedition right in our kitchen. The ingredients' quality is absolutely unmatched. Think farm, fresh, produce, and organic fruits and veggies right to our doorstep. Adding to the excitement, Green Chef's latest gut and brain health meal plan has been a game changer, offering nutritious meals, wholesome snacks, and beneficial drinks. It's designed to enhance our family's health and happiness. Watching the kids relish foods that are beneficial for both mind and body has been incredible to watch. Here's something fantastic for my listeners. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, expanding our selection with an even wider array of meal plans. I adore switching between the brands for an enriched dining experience, and now you too can get a discount on both brands with me. Go to greenchef.com/60BBB and use code 60BBB to snag 60% off, plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's right. Go to greenchef.com/60BBB and use my code 60BBB to snag 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. So don't miss out on this chance to explore a world of flavorful, nutritious eating with Green Chef.
Parenting your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of seen this a lot. In I don't know, just seeing couples in terms of parenting, like there, I feel like, and I don't know, you can totally disagree with this because you're the relationship coach, not me. But have you seen where like one spouse, typically the women, will parent the other partner?
I parented my husband. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes from, you know, there's no manual on marriage, okay? We basically are showing up to our relationships based on what we're seeing on TV or what we're seeing on social media or what we watched growing up. Like that's how you're showing up with those tools. And I would say that part of parenting your partner is control. And it's not this like nasty control of like, oh, I want to control them. It's you're trying to control the result. So you're trying to control the ball not dropping. You're trying to control, you know, your light bill being, you know, not being paid on time. Like you're trying to control the outcome. And I'll give an example, a personal example. When I transitioned into tech a couple of years ago, I was finishing the first year of my business, and my husband and I would manage our money together, but the person that was in charge of paying the actual bill like online was me. And so imagine you're paying like, I don't know, 15 different things, right? And I'm not one of like automatic payments. And whoever does that, I'm so sorry that I'm not on board with you, okay? But I wasn't on automatic payments. So I think maybe AT&T was, but that's it. And so I got the position, I had the business, and I had been the one doing that for a decade. And I went to my husband and I was like, listen, or close to a decade. And I said, listen, I can't do this anymore. Like I literally don't have the mental capacity to remember. Like it is causing me so much pressure to remember when things are due and all this other stuff, right? Like I just don't like it. And can I just create an Excel sheet? And my husband, like he is not a computer guy. My husband's actually a race car driver. And so they do use computers to in their car, but it's like, it's coded. It's not the same type of computers. So anyways, so he's not like computer savvy with like Excel and all that. And I was like, I'm just going to send you an Excel of the bills that are due, the amounts, their deadlines, and I'm going to send you all the logins and the password. And he just looked at me and he was like, I mean, if that's what you need, like, he's like, do you mind like maybe at least the first month or two, just like, you know, if I have any questions? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like you totally ask me anything. I'm like, all right. So it's interesting because the first month passes by and I didn't say anything. And I think in month two, I was like, so what'd you end up doing? He's like, I just put everything on automatic payments.
You're like, what?
And I was like, you did? And I remember my brain wanting to parent him and ask him like, don't do that. Why did you do that? We do it this way, yada, yada, yada. And I was just in the space of like, Karina, you don't have the capacity to think about this. You gave it to him. You have to surrender it to him and let him do it his way. Because you asked that man to do the bills, he needs to do the bills his way. And if the ball drops, he will also figure it out. And he's going to tap you in when it's time. It's just like when you ask your partner, make the kids lunch, let the man make the kids lunch his way. He wants to feed them. He wants to feed them chicken nuggets for the third time. Let that man feed them chicken nuggets. It's fine.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I know that I have a healthy amount of anxiety over these things and that I feel like you were just talking to me because I have definitely asked Hunter to do things. And then I'm like, why would you do it that way? Or trying to be like, no, that's not how we do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Weaponized incompetence. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for example, and this isn't a real example. I'm totally going to make it up. Change the baby's diaper. It's poo diaper, whatever. Okay. And let's just say the man goes to change and then gets shit everywhere and is like, oh my God, she again, totally making this up. Mm-hmm. She just moved and got shit everywhere. Like now what do I do? Blah, blah, blah. It's all over the baby. We got to take a breath. Okay. It's fine. I'll help you. Okay. The next poopy diaper. Can you change the poopy diaper? Mm-hmm. It happens again. The third time. It happens again. when does it become like this weaponized incompetence of like, I'm so incompetent that I can't change this diaper or I can't pay the tow bill that now it's in collections. I can't do it. And I need you to come in and just do it for me because I can't do it. Because that's a real thing that happens. I don't know if it happens on purpose or just subconsciously. Yeah. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Like, when is it like I'm letting that person do it their way? And then when is it becoming this weapon against me? Because now I have to step, because they know I'm going to step in and do it and take it over. And they're like, ha ha ha, now I don't have to do it.
I think the superpower of people who are doing this weaponized incompetence is that they know how predictable you are. And I think that that's the difference, right? When your partner knows that you will step in, it means that you are predictable. And so I want you to do the opposite. I just told one of my clients this. It's like, I told him, I said, your partner's superpower is that that you are predictable. They know how predictable you are. And so, for example, let's use the poopy diaper, right? They're like, oh my God, crap is everywhere. And they call your name. Let's just use my husband and I. Karina, there's crap everywhere. Like, I will literally probably scream from the bottom of the stairs like, oh, so what are you going to do? Do you need something? Yeah, I don't know what to do. Just grab the wipes. Just wipe it down. You'll wipe it down. And don't forget to like put Clorox on it or something afterwards just because you want to, whatever. You can give instructions. And I'm at the bottom of this, but I'm not going to step in. And so. Yeah,
I like that. I think there are like, in that case, like I totally agree. If that ever happened to me, I'd be like, okay, well now it's on the carpet. So here's the carpet cleaner. Like,
yeah, I'm like, you'll figure it out.
You should probably give that baby a bath. Like, I totally get that.
Talking about even my scenario with bills, like, I would get emails. Like, this bill is due in 5 days. I delete them because he has the date. And sometimes I've seen it, like, I'll see like a late fee and I'm like, oh, what happened there? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. He's like, I'm so sorry I had a late fee, but I learned my lesson. And he goes, you know what I did? I'm like, what'd you do? He's like, I called them. And I asked for forgiveness and I negotiated. And do you see the reversal on there? I'm like, oh yeah, there is a reversal. Like we have, so he figures it out. You know what I mean? Anyways, you were saying.
No, I was going to talk about the bills because in a past relationship experience where I just felt like I just did a lot of the work, a mortgage payment, like this individual is responsible for rent, you know, or like mortgage or whatever. And I got the, oh, now you're late. And I was like, oh, you have to pay this. And then I got the, now you're 60 days late. And it went on my credit score.
Wow.
And I paid it because I was like, now you're like fucking with my credit.
Yeah. You know? That's a bigger conversation. Yeah.
So I think it's like, I love your advice of like, let it happen. But if it is going to like hurt you financially, emotionally, physically, step in.
You got to step in. Yeah. 1,000%.
That 1,000%. Is still on my credit. It was like 30 days later, whatever it was. But I'm like, every time I see it, I'm like, motherfucker.
I love it.
But then it also goes back to like, you know, the past triggers, right? I think you take that experience and then when it comes to my current relationship, there is like this trigger of like, you're going to pay that, right? You're going to pay that? They're not going to come in collections. They're not going to come get me. And it's like,
yeah.
So I love your feedback of like each person, you have to treat them differently. You can't bring over your experiences from previous relationships because that's unfair to the new person that's not done anything.
Yeah.
But lose your trust.
I would also offer like having that conversation, like just be open and raw and saying like, listen, I get triggered when stuff doesn't get paid on time because I got screwed over. Okay. And it's all my credit. And when I look at it, I say that mother effer, I can't, you know? And so like, if I think that you're not going to pay something on time, it triggers me. So if I catch an attitude, I'm sorry. It's just me being triggered. I got to work on that. But just so you know, like not paying stuff on time really gets to me. You got to have these conversations. I've had them with my partner all the time.
Yeah. What about different personalities in relationship dynamics? Like Are there any that are more prone to falling into the pattern of bad communicating or parenting a spouse or trust issues, like in terms of, I don't know, maybe you have someone that's like super controlling and anxious and you have another person that's just so relaxed. Like, are there any like super conflicting personality styles there?
I see a lot of clients that are overachievers, and the overachievers just want their partners to be happy. Like, and so they will do everything to make sure that the boat is not rocked. And in the journey of that, they lose themselves. They tire themselves out. They build a lot of resentment against their partner because their goal was to just make sure the house was just good. And if they're good, I'm good, right? But they just work so hard at making sure that their partner is good or their life that they have is good that they end up just not being happy and spending a really long time in these relationships. And then you have, I would say, not just overachievers, but you have the fixers. And so the fixers are like the people pleasers in making sure that every single problem that comes into the household is like on their shoulders, right? Like they figure everything out. They come up with strategies for everything. And they want to make sure that it's kind of also like an ego thing, I would say, like everything, you know, everybody just come to me for everything. I will solve it. I will be the hero of the household. And it's draining. It really is. And so I would say like those two are the personalities that I see. And then the people that they're with are on the receiving ends of that, usually the opposite, right? And that are dependent on them or that may not be as, you know, high achieving and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. What about cultures or societal expectations? Like how do they influence the way that couples approach relationships together?
Do you mean like background cultures and stuff like that? That's interesting. Yeah. So my husband is Black. I'm Latina. I'm from Peru. And I would say that my family's loud, like just loud, kissing and hugging. Like it's just very touchy-feely. And my husband's the Black sheep of his family. And so like he's, not that he's loud, but he's very touchy-feely. And I would say that my in-laws are not. They're very just like reserved. They're very nice, but they're just like reserved, not as loud, like just, you know, saying to themselves. And I think that I don't know if I would say that we clash, but I would say when those two families get together, you know, it can be a lot to like go to every single corner of the house and be like, how's everybody doing? You're loud over here, you know, and like you're over there, like kind of reserved. Are you okay? Would you like something to eat? Did we miss you? Did you eat? Like, you know, things of that nature. And so I would say that, you know, my husband and I have definitely had conversations, as everybody does, about your in-laws. And here's the thing about your in-laws ain't going to change. Like they are who they are. They ain't going to change. Like they are who they are. And, you know, Brianna and I were talking earlier about just like boundaries. And I think that when it comes to your in-laws and cultural changes and shifts and stuff like that, that's where boundaries come into play and making sure that you and your partner are really on the same page. And then I think about, you know, one partner that's like really loud and excited, like just like, I don't know, somebody that is just blossoming, like is just like loud and such a light. And then their partner is like really quiet and reserved, right? Like I tend to look at these couples.
Yeah. Or like an Eeyore.
And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, but why? And I'm not saying that it's not a good fit, but I think it's really important to ask yourself, like, why? Right? Because you can't be getting upset that they don't then want to go on a double date or that they don't want to join in on conversations or that they don't have a community of buddies that they hang around when you knew when you got married to them that they were very quiet and reserved. Like, why are you mad? Did you expect them to change? Like, they are who they are. And I think that, you know, people are like, oh, the whole thing, you know, many decades ago was like opposites attract. And I'm like, that's interesting. I don't know if that's always true. Yeah, but
if they're magnets.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I personally don't think, like, I'm not a really big believer in the whole like opposites attract. I think it's like, if you can find that combination, I will say though, if someone looked at Hunter and I, they may think that we're opposite because he is very introverted, I'm very extroverted. But when you actually get to the layers, it's like we're both very driven. We like the same things. Mm. We both love going out and being in community. His version of community and connection is different than mine. And so we mm-hmm. meet each other halfway and we feel fulfilled in that. And I think, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, he's quiet and you're loud. Opposites attract. It's like, no, actually, we have a lot in common in the way that we communicate and support one another. It's not opposite in terms of our visions of like how we should treat our partners and our children and everything. So it's like, no, there's a lot of similarities, but you only know us at a surface level.
Yeah. And everything you just described are values.
Yeah.
Everything, that's your values.
Yeah, exactly.
Your values, your life values, they align. That's what's most important. Like, yes, personality is one thing. Your values are going to be the very cornerstone of your relationship. If that is not aligned, and plenty of times, like, listen, the top values that I think about that should be aligned are your money values, your faith and belief values, your values around wanting kids, and then your values around hobbies. Like, do you have them? Would you like them? Would you be pissed if I had a hobby and you didn't, right? So like when I got married to my husband, he straight up was like, listen, I'm trying to become a race car driver. And I was like, what? That's so stupid. And I was like, I don't understand why you would want to potentially like almost die every time that you go down the racetrack. And he's like, it's just what I want to do. It's what I love. It's my passion. And I remember these words very clearly. He said, and no one's going to stop me. And I remember thinking like, dang, it's like that. And then like maybe a year later, we were at the racetrack and he was watching other men do the dream that he wanted to do. And I remember looking at him and being like, I can't be the person if I love him. This really doesn't matter much to me, but I can't be the person that keeps him from doing this. And it's not something that I would want to do, but I value having big dreams. And this, like you said, with you and Hunter, this is his big dream.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to accept this. And the next day I just called our life insurance plan and just like bumped his life insurance plan. Like, it's just very simple. Like that's what soothed my anxiety at the end of the day.
You know? Like, we're good. If something happens, like we'll be sad, we'll miss you, but we can pay our bills.
Yeah, that's how I feel. We're good.
Oh, that's really funny. And I do like that. I think there's a couple things. One is I like that you're like, okay, I can't stop him versus he has this dream and he wants to do it and he talks about it all the time, but then he's not doing it. And you're like, I'll set you up with an instructor. Like I'll book your first appointment. Yeah. And I like that you didn't do that. It was like, okay, fine, you can do it. Like, but you do it.
Yeah, you know? You do it. Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah. And he did. And you know what? It's so interesting. I just have to say this. It's been maybe 6 going on 7 years since that conversation. And my husband is one of the fastest race car drivers in the nation in his league. And he did that all on his own. He broke his record 3 times last year. Wow. And, you know, he'll say it's the family did it, right? Because it takes a village, right? Us taking care of each other and the kids and all that. Yes, I get it. But like he did that. And I recently watched him, you know, and as the entrepreneur, I was like, you could totally monetize on this. Like you could help other men build on a budget. Like you could take calls, charge this amount. And I remember having this conversation 1 time with him and he just looked at me and I was like, yeah, it don't seem like this is clicking, right? And he's like, not for me yet. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever God has planned for you, I'm just here when you're ready. And that conversation was 2 years ago. And about 2 months ago, he came to me and he was like, I need your advice. And I was like, what happened? Yeah. And he was like, I'm taking on my first 4-figure client. This is the job. This is what I'm going to do. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And he's like, and I'm using like what you're teaching me. So how do I negotiate? How do I do this? And I was like, okay, you do it like this. You do it like that. I was like, but at the end of the day, you got to trust yourself. I was like, because I can advise you, but you're the entrepreneur of this business, not me. So I'm just giving you advice, but like you got to do what you feel is right. And he's like, okay, okay. And he went and he did it and he got great reviews and you know, he went on with his day. But yeah, that's surrendering my partner. That's another example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. What other techniques or advice would you give to women or couples, someone listening that resonates with this and is like wanting to take the next steps on fixing their relationship?
I would say, here's the thing. One, you know that there's a problem because you're arguing about it, or you know that you're having these feelings of sadness or resentment towards your partner, whatever it is. And I want you to know that, like, when these things come up, they're just an opportunity to do something about it, right? And so if you do want to do something about it, I'm not knocking couples therapy. I was in couples therapy. I love couples therapy. I also obviously love coaching, right? And I think the biggest difference is that therapy is going to really unpack a lot of that past and get you to the present, whereas coaching is going to also do some of that unlocking, but also figure out a plan moving forward. And so for me, anytime I have a problem, and you know this, like, Brianna, that if we have a problem in our business, like, we're going to call somebody. We're going to go and get support about it. Like, I'm only going to try to figure it out on my own for a little bit, but I got to move the needle. So I have to go and get support. So if you're at the space where you're like, I'm ready to fix this, go and get support. Go and see what's out there for marriage therapy or for marriage coaching and really start to do this work. And here's the kicker. You don't have to do this work together. Okay. It can just be you first. Okay. Because at the end of the day, your partner is going to see a shift in you. And that may get them to then do the work themselves or do the work with you, whatever it is. But you don't got to wait for nobody to start this work. You could start by just you.
Yeah. And Karina, where can people find you if they have any questions, want to continue the conversation, want to follow you? Like, what are your platforms? Where can people find you?
So I primarily live on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is Karina F as in Frank Daves. And if you go to TikTok, just do not engage with the comments. It's a little spicy on TikTok. I don't know if you noticed that. It's a lot spicier. Or you can find me on my website, KarinaFDaves.com. If you are ready to do this work and stop arguing with your partner so that y'all can have more sex, go to the link in my bio on Instagram or on my website and book a sales call so we can talk about everything that's happened, what you've tried, and how I can help.
Well, thank you so much for today's conversation.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @badassbasicbitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.